Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Ensaroma. And October is the second and final Earth month in this mind-blowing mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. This October, thanks greatly to the courage of 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, brings heightened consciousness for Earth Day, which is on the 22nd, and about, of course, our need to take care of the Earth. My theme for this month is hearth healing, a spiritual response to this global warning. Hopefully won't become more of a crisis than it has been. The word hearth means home, and without its second H, it becomes heart. And without its first H, it becomes earth. So through three live broadcasts and the videos that I'll upload, I will honor the deep connection that exists with our heart, our home, and our earth. This week I'll begin sharing wisdom and insights with you about healing your heart. But first, for those of you who may be listening or watching for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal, sometimes professional, development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking your happy endings in life or fulfillment in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live on Black Hole Radio. And unless I'm on hiatus or the unexpected occurs, if for some reason you can't access the internet to listen to the show, you can listen to the live broadcast at this number here, which is 563-999-3089, or you can wait until the YouTube gets uploaded. Now, my format is such that I don't usually make room for questions and answers, but if you do have a question or you'd like to make a comment, please feel free to share it on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com. Or you can also, of course, post comments in the box below this YouTube. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to the soul and discover the true treasure of being human. And give me a minute to take a sip of water. So, I am so nervous right now, which I really shouldn't be, but I am, only because I, for the first time, am using a camcorder to record my broadcast. And I guess because I've been used to doing YouTube Live, I'm just like, okay, what's going to go wrong? What's going to go wrong? You know, it's just crazy energy. And so I need to just really be focusing on what's going to go right. So far, so good. And it's a big learning curve for me just in terms of this camera that I got and the microphone and all of that stuff. And then I'm going to have real fun editing when it's all done. But it is really wonderful to be able to provide this information in more than one format and to simulcast broadcast and videotaping at the same time. I'm really, really grateful for that. Also, I've got some allergy stuff going on. I was doing so good today, but then I went for a good walk, and now my eyes are just like, they're itching me to death. I've been putting homeopathic drops in it, but it's still not working enough. So forgive me if I'm blinking or wiping in my eyes as I'm trying to make sure that I can see. Wow, there is so much going on in the world right now. So much is shifting, so much is transforming. And so I think it's a really, really important time for us to remember that we don't have to figure this out all on our own. And so as I do every week here on the show, I'd like to begin with a calling up, an invocation to our ancestors, and especially those ancestors that were able to heal their hearts. How do you know they healed their hearts? Because they were loving. They were loving even when they were taking their last breath. They were loving people. Yeah, And so if you don't have an ancestor that was able to do that, think of somebody that maybe wasn't blood related. It could even be an actress or an actor or a famous painter or a musician, a writer, but just someone that you can identify with who really was able to heal their heart, really, really got to that place of healing. And we're going to call on them because we so need that. And, of course, I'll be talking more about this heart healing part of hearth healing. I'll explain that. But we definitely need to heal our broken hearts. And so I'm going to call out to the ancestors. You can say their name out loud. And if you don't know someone, that's okay, too, because ancestors love you anyway. And you've got many of them from eons back in your lineage. And so even if you don't know their name, you can still feel their presence. So Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your blessing, your mercy in our lives, and for yet another opportunity to call on our ancestors. Creator, you know they can see in all directions at once. Problems where they are not problems like we have here. In fact, they don't have the problems that they had here. And they are so willing to be of service to us. And so we're calling out to them and thanking you at the same time for giving us access to these great emissaries to you. So ancestors, 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 please hear our call. We are taking on, opening ourselves up to learning how to heal the earth. And then to do that, we have to first start with ourselves. And so we have to heal our heartbrokenness, and we need your help for that because we can't figure it out. Or even if we've got it figured out, the actual doing of it is what we need support for. So please come be with us. Come hold our heads, hold our feet, hold our arms, hold our hands. Be behind us, be in front of us, be beside us. Walk us through this journey of healing our hearts. And how, give us validation in very clear ways that our heart is healing, that we are moving toward there so that we can stay inspired, that we can stay courageous and not give up on this important journey, because ultimately it will affect this world, this earth that we live upon. And so once again, ancestors, I thank you. Creator, I thank you. And ask you for the blessing of the healing of our hearts in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe Ho Asah, Shinga Bismillah. So it is. Ashe. Ashe. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. We have had so many things going on this week. But one of the ones that most affected me was, of course, the forgiveness expression that was done by the brother of Botham Jean, and the brother's name is Brant Jean, for the woman who was a police officer and had killed her brother mistakenly. And this young man, only 18 years old, really, really got that forgiveness is divine, and it's about letting go of carrying somebody else's pain. And it, I know it's touched many people around the world because it's something we're not used to. You know, we're not used to really believing that this level of forgiveness is possible. But Brant Jean proved that it is, and it'll be interesting to see what unfolds as time goes on. So this week coming up, our elemental week starts this Tuesday on the 8th of October, and we are moving into a nature week. We're leaving a fire week. Yeah, so if you were wondering, like, oh my God, why is all this stuff going on and all this transformational energy Yeah, because it was a fire week, and it was a week to really be close to the ancestors. I know I fed mine and kept them well watered, well spirited, going through last week. But the opportunity this week is about welcoming change, because when things get disrupted, then the fallout is going to be that there's going to be some change. There's definitely going to be some change. It's about being courageous, calling up again for that strong heart. It's about opening the door fully to the new transformative challenges and learnings which the universe is providing. And guess why? In answer to and in support of your prayers, intentions, goals, and annual commitments. Remember those? Receive the power of love this week and the supportive and playful energy of the nature element to experience the more of who you are. Yes, yes, yes. So important. Here's some distractions, because, you know, we're always going to have that. And it's what really kind of helps keep us on a path, because you're going to be tempted. And so the distraction would be engaging in addictive behaviors in whatever form they take, drugs and alcohol, indiscriminate sexual activity, overworking, overshopping, overuse of Facebook and other social media tools and apparatus. In other words, you know, take time to go in. Take time to focus on you. It's so easy in modern culture to be pulled outside of yourself. But take that time to really go in. Don't get distracted by the external world. Another distraction is about being judgmental of yourself or others. So just notice this week how much you may be unconsciously judging yourself, treating yourself like there's something wrong with you. You know, just like me with this camera, like focusing on like, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? And no, I need to shift on, no, what's going right? This is about what's right. Not be distracted by that negativity. And then last but not least, taking yourself or other people or things too seriously. You know, it's like with the camera, I really did have to take a break and just like chill out and just say, stop it. It's going to be fine. If something screws up, it's going to be okay. Don't be attached. Just let it go. Don't take it that serious. You know, it's going to be okay. So next Tuesday, the 15th, we'll begin an Earth Week in this Earth Month in this mineral year. And I will definitely tell you more about that in the next broadcast and video. Now, very strangely, the astronomical forecast is pretty low-key. So that's good, because we have so much stuff going on. And it's kind of like there's stuff around this period, you know, right before it, and definitely what's coming up after, because next week, next Sunday, we'll have a full moon, and it's going to be intense. It's in the sign of Aries. And it falls on a 13th, so yeah, get ready, right? But for this week, leading up to the full moon, we get a little bit of a break. There is some activity going on with Venus, but it's just more of the energy of, again, opening up our hearts. And, you know, also about what is it that we're passionate about, and are we allowing ourselves to engage with that in a healthy way? In a healthy way, in a loving way. So leading up to the full moon. And again, as you get closer to the full moon, like maybe on Friday, you might feel some of the intensity. But between now and then, take a break. Give yourself a break. Take a breath. because there will be some activity coming, for sure, for sure. So, I now want to give you a quick overview of what I want to focus on talking about for the rest of this program. I'm going to first define hearth healing, because it's not a usual term. It is something I put together, and so I want to explain what I mean by that. I'm giving you a little hints about it. Then I want to talk about brokenheartedness and how easily it can be ignored. And you would think that if you're, you know, suffering from it, that you're not ignoring it. But if you're not healing it, you are ignoring it. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the purpose of brokenheartedness as well from a spiritual perspective. Then I'll share with you three ways that I have used to heal a broken heart that have been very, very effective for me and hopefully can be of service to you. And then, of course, I will give you a personal challenge. Yeah. So as I was researching quotes for tonight's broadcast and video, I came across two quotes from a woman named Jocelyn Soriano, and she wrote a book called Mend My Broken Heart. So I thought it was perfect. And I love the level of consciousness that she is writing about in her response to mending the broken heart. And so the two quotes, and I put them together, are: greatness is not in being unbroken, but in being a blessing even after being broken. Like bread, like a seed that dies yet rises again. Then she goes on to say, it is our wounds that create in us a desire to reach for miracles. The fulfillment of such miracles depends on whether we let our wounds pull us down or lift us up towards our dreams. Yeah. Very, very, very beautiful. Yeah, she gets it. There is treasure in the wound, and we have a choice for that. So what is this heart healing, you know? So Judge Brown, what are you talking about? What's heart healing? Well, let me start out with the word heart, because back in the day, the hearth was basically your fireplace. It was that foundation brick or, you know, slate or whatever, and it was central to your domicile, to your home. And it was on this foundation, on this hearth, that you could build fire, maintain fire, cook with fire, get warm by the fire. This is it. This is it. And, you know, as an element from the wisdom I keep, fire is that way of keeping things animated. It is the spark of life. And it's the truth. Yeah. So coming home in a symbolic way, coming home to the hearth, coming home to the fire, is coming home to the truth, coming home to your truth. And fire, in the wisdom I keep, represents the gateway between this world and the ancestral world. So the hearth is a portal into the other world. So it's a very, very sacred symbol, very important symbol. We wouldn't be alive as human beings if we didn't have the hearth, you know. We didn't have a way to make shelter and to keep ourselves warm when the weather got cold outside, you know, and to be able to have babies and all that good stuff, you know, especially in cold climates, right? But this notion of, you know, the home and the center place being this hearth, and that they would call it that, but that word, you know, comes to us from Old English, from Latin, but it's heart. And so heart and home go together. And, of course, our home of homes is the earth. And so the word hearth to me encompasses those three essential elements of our existence: heart, home, and earth. And to be able to take care of them is so essential to our ability to continue to be here in this realm, in this earth plane, in this 3D physicality and to be able to be fulfilled, to have our happy endings. So we have to take care of these three ingredients, if you will. Now, you may ask, how is healing the heart, which then can heal the home, which then can heal the earth, possible? How is that possible? Because it seems like, you know, so disparate, right? Like, if I heal a broken heart, I'm actually healing the earth? Like, how does that happen? So for those of you who have not studied shamanic principles and practices or indigenous wisdom, let me give you a little science. And the little science is the fact that we are energetic beings. How do we know this? Because of quantum physics and the ability to see that the atoms that make up all of these things that are solid, like this pen right here, if you were to put this under an electromagnetic microscope, where you can see deep into the composition of this pen, you would ultimately get to see how it's made up of mostly empty space, because it's made up of atoms. And atoms have inside of them a neutron and a nuclei, and there's things buzzing around. But mostly it's empty space, you know, at that quantum level, And the quantum physicists and the theoretical physicists, you know, have ventured to, through a scientific approach and through the use of math, they explain everything with mathematical equations, which I don't understand, but they love it and it works for them. What makes it science? But through their mathematical equations, they tell us that, and ultimately, what we are these strings of vibrating energy, and that everything that we see here in this material world comes out of a void, comes out of a nothingness, And that it is about the frequency of the vibration, the length of the vibration, you know, that determines how thick, how soft, how hard, how nebulous, how liquid something becomes. Yeah, it's very, very fascinating stuff. So why do we need to know that? And from a scientific standpoint, because we all have the experience of feeling vibes, feeling a good vibe or a bad vibe, right? You know, you can go someplace, and even before maybe you go into a store or a club or, you know, somebody's home, you're feeling something. You're feeling a vibe. And that vibe will either feel good or it'll feel bad. And the more conscious you are about this vibrational existence that we have, then the more you can make a decision off of whether or not you're going into that place. You know, we will call it intuition, but that intuition, and it's interesting because it's coming through, you think of our stomachs, and that's where there's a lot of nerve endings, you know, that can feel that vibe. We make these decisions about what feels good and what doesn't feel good to us. And it's a way that we communicate. You know, vibrations help us, this energetic of vibrations, it helps us to navigate our environment all the time, whether we're conscious of it or not. And the other really beautiful thing that I'm so grateful for, quantum physics, helping us to really have to own, is that everything is connected. Everything is connected because it's all coming from the same source. Yeah. And we're connected through these energetic vibrations that exists in between every physical thing. So from a spiritual standpoint, from a metaphysical standpoint, when you shift up the experience of how you are associated with your heart, you will ultimately shift up how this earth is treated. Yeah. And so if a majority of humans, because then take every, it doesn't need to be everybody. That's one good thing about the universe. It's like, you know, yeah, some people don't have to do it. It's okay. But it do need a majority of y'all to do it. So if a majority of us were to take on healing our hearts, then ultimately what we are seeing going on, the dangers, the ecological dangers that are going on the planet today, they will be shifting. And in fact, there really is shift going on. There really is. But more will come. And another way to look at this, too, so that you know what I'm talking about, is that the things that are being done that are not healthy for our planet, for example, the overconsumption, overuse of plastic and it getting into the ocean and causing ecological damage there, or knowing that the earth is surrounded by, you know, this ozone layer, and it's that ozone layer that keeps the sun from scorching us to death, and that too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will damage the ozone layer. So knowing that, but knowing that, you know, through industrialism, we do a lot more expelling of carbon dioxide than the plants do, that it is hurting the ozone layer. And so you would think that we would just easily be able to say, oh, let's shut this down. Let's not do this. Let's shut this down. But brokenheartedness, not healed, really creates a fear mentality and a scarcity mentality. And so there are people who will find ways to stop solutions that can help the ozone, because what they are doing now, like the use of fossil fuels, is their bedrock. It is their security blanket, and they're afraid to let go of it because they'll have to be inconvenienced for a while. Yeah. So, give you another great example of the fear and brokenheartedness associated with that is that you have these very brilliant people who sat around the table in Fukushima, Japan, and decided to put a nuclear power plant in an earthquake zone. You know, it's like, okay, so they're really intelligent, so how come they didn't get that you can't put a that earthquake and nuclear power just like, it just doesn't mix, like, not a good decision, right? Well, when your heart is not in the decision making because it's so shut down, then you're not going to think about the fact that human beings can be, and not just human beings, all living things, plants, animals, you know, including humans, and the quality of air and water will be affected if the earthquake came and this was in this place. But there was no one at that planning table who was able to say and get others to say, no, we can't build it there. And so then you have that horrible disaster that we are still dealing with and that we don't like to talk about. We don't like to think about it. But, yeah, it's a problem. It is a problem. So again, just a few examples of how, you know, us having our hearts shut down because we haven't healed them really can ultimately impact decision making that creates global disaster. Yeah. So that's the connection, that's the thread. And there's so many more examples of that. Very easy to research and find out how people have made very poor decisions and not thought about the impact it would have on other human beings, or not believing that they should care, you know. You know, it seems like when we're not connected to our heart and soul, when we're not living out of a spiritual consciousness, and we attempt to manage things for large groups of people, for communities, for states, for countries, for regions, you know, or even globally, we'll come up with a single perspective, a single way. This is kind of the rise of the corporations, you know. It's like, because we got to do this mass production, and then we come up with this singular way of doing it. And we may continue to use that singular way, even when there isn't a crisis, when it's not a crisis response. Whenever we do that, we treat people like they're disposable. Yeah. You know, slavery in America comes from that. It comes from the Europeans coming over to the New World, and most of them having been very poor and deciding that they want to, you know, become wealthy and they want to survive. And they want to do it in a big way. They want to create a country. And so they decide in a singular way to, you know, use slave labor. And they had no regard for the impact that this would have on the Africans that they brought over. And even when they would see the suffering, they would make up excuses for it. They're animals, so it's okay to treat them like that. So again, we really, really do have a lot of work to do as human beings, but it's important to know that, you know, our reactions that are so, so heartless and devastating to other humans, our inhumanity to other humans, it's rooted in heartbrokenness. So let me talk a little bit about heartbreak. Essentially, heartbreak is the loss of a person, a place, or a thing, and the belief that that person, place, or thing belonged to you and made you good. Because with heartbreak comes shame and guilt and the nightmare of death, betrayal, disappointment, letdown. Your heart can get broken at a very, very early age. For example, if you are unwanted by your parents or a parent, that will break your heart. That's heartbreak. And we think, oh, it's just an infant. They don't know what's going on. Oh, no, 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 that's not true. That's not true. Like I said, we're vibrational creatures here, you know. So your heart can get broken that early on. Or your heart can get broken by the death of a parent when you're just a child. Or the death of a sibling or a friend. That's heartbreak. We mostly think of heartbreak, of course, when we lose our first love, when it doesn't work out, or they reject us, or that we love them, but then they choose somebody else. You know, they don't give us a Valentine's Day card on February 14th. That's what we usually think about as our heartbreak, but heartbrokenness can happen before that age, that pre-adolescent age or adolescent age. So again, it really is about loss. Heartbreak is about loss. And, you know, we forget that heartbreak also can validate for us our willingness to love. Yeah. Because we only grieve that which we love or want to love. I can say that because sometimes, you know, it's attachment. Your heart breaks over an attachment. It wasn't really love. But when we think of heartbreak, we mostly think about a suffering. We think about a suffering. And that is the first reaction, and that is a human reaction to heartbreak. But especially as an adult, we don't have to stay in the suffering. The suffering becomes a choice. We can actually heal from the loss. We don't have to carry it around with us forever. It's interesting because I think that for so many of us, we never were taught or even encouraged to take on healing our broken heart. It was almost like, oh, your heart got broken. Okay, you know, let's hold on to that. It's almost like a form of initiation, and it is an initiatory experience. It really is. But it's never, never meant for us to stay heartbroken. You know, one of the ways in which usually, if it's a romantic situation, we try to address the heartbrokenness is to go get in another relationship, right? That will heal my heart. I'll get with somebody who wants to be with me. But if you haven't healed that heartbrokenness, I guarantee you, you will experience it in some way, shape, or form in the next relationship. Yeah. And that's why you hear about people going from one relationship to the next or one marriage to the next. Like, what's going on? Why can't they just settle down? Well, they haven't healed their heart, their brokenness. It's almost impossible to settle down. So why don't we heal? What's that about? Why don't we heal? Well, we find it hard because when our hearts are broken, I think it's impossible for us to accept it at first. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? This shouldn't be happening to me. So, you know, we have a resistance to the acceptance. And if you can't accept something, you can't work on it. Yeah. Part of our resistance may be trying to change the situation instead of focusing on ourselves. We'll try to figure out, well, what can I do so that I don't have this loss or so that this loss isn't real? You know, it's something we're trying to make up some way to not have to deal with it. The other reason we don't heal is because we shut down our hearts because of the pain. We go right into protection mode. That will never happen to me again. I will never, ever let somebody do that to me ever again. Yeah. And I can go into another relationship with my heart shut down because, you know, I can be superficial and complex, but it won't be real. And at some point, it won't work. It won't work. But, yeah, we shut down our hearts. We become judgmental, revengeful, meaning we transfer our pain consciously or unconsciously. We go into that mode. Another reason why we won't heal is because we get addicted to being the victim. we start to have a badge of honor, like we'll have our badges of how many times our heart has been broken. You know, my heart always gets broken. Nobody ever loves me, you know, that kind of thing. And we start to believe that that's who I am. Oh, this is my life in life. This is what God intended for me. I'm just to be heartbroken. It's not how the universe works. That's never true. Never true. Another reason is we have no awareness of how our heartbrokenness, left unhealed, will block our ability to love, to be compassionate, to be courageous enough to become the best that we can be as humans, like those people planning the nuclear power plant in Fukushima. Yeah. So, how do we heal our heart? How do we heal our heart? Well, first of all, you've got to accept that it happened, or it's happening. You've got to accept it. So that I call honor your vulnerability, because that's what happens. You're vulnerable. When your heart gets broken, you are vulnerable. It hurts. It's pain. And the only way to heal pain is to accept it and intend to release it. And I call that sitting in your pain, meaning that you don't tell yourself it's not happening, or come up with excuses for why it's not happening, but to really honor your vulnerability, sit in that pain. And in the sitting, you replace numbing yourself, and you know what I mean, all the sedative stuff, but you replace that with nurturing yourself physically, socially, spiritually, vibrationally, and of course, emotionally. Getting the love that you need, and that's available for you. Yeah. But not closing yourself off or shutting yourself down to being supported, which I know, especially when you're young, it's very hard to do because, like I said, that shame is there. Shame, blame, guilt. You know, when you're young, you'll blame yourself for your heartbrokenness. I wasn't good enough. There was something wrong with me. I didn't deserve. You know, we'll do all of that. And so then you, like, don't want people around or don't want them to see you because you feel ashamed. When your heart gets broken, it's never your fault. It's never your fault. It's something that happens. And you could have done everything perfect in a relationship, in a situation. You know, because you get your heart broken when you lose your job. Okay, that's heartbrokenness. Yeah. Or you can't pay your bills and you have to be evicted from your home, or your car gets repoed. Oh, we talking heartbrokenness there. Okay? Yeah. So when those things happen, it's not your fault. It happened. And, yeah, you can say if it's something like a car or your bills, you know, I should have planned better, I should have saved more. Yeah, again, we live in a crazy economy. Even planning better and saving more, you can still run into trouble because something jumps up, you know. But that's how life is. So blaming ourselves and judging ourselves over heartbrokenness is not a good use of our time and energy. It's about, how do I heal this? How do I move through this and forward from it? And of course, any trouble, any pain that shows up in our lives always has treasure for us. And so we need to find that. But you can't find it if you can't accept it. So again, honor your vulnerability. Another thing to do is to find something or someone to serve. Find opportunities to share your heart, to open your heart, to contribute to the health and the well-being of others. Find who and what you can love on without expecting anything back but the opportunity to experience yourself as loving. So I'm not talking about going out and finding somebody to rescue. This is about service. Who can I serve? So in other words, not seeing people as less than you. No, seeing people as the beautiful divine beings they are, but they may be in some trouble or they may be needing something, and you open up to seeing, well, how can I serve? Quick example from my personal life. I had a huge heartbreak of someone I loved and who I believed loved me, but for whatever reason, it just wasn't the right time. And we had to separate. And I was devastated. And I was young, so I totally took on responsibility for it. And I was ashamed. And I didn't share it with my family. I didn't share it with even a close friend. It took me years to share it. Like maybe it was a decade or two later. But in my suffering, and I went through a suffering, and I just got tired of suffering. That's really what happened. I got tired of crying. I got tired of just feeling so empty and so lost and so bad. And I did put myself in another relationship, and, of course, it didn't work out because my heart was broken. I was not healed. It wasn't healed. And then finally, I got to a point where I was like, okay, I need to do something besides just focus on the fact that my heart got broken and my life is destroyed. I need to do some service. And I ended up being able to go to Toledo, Ohio, and create a program, community program, and work with the most wonderful, wonderful group of children and parents in what we call Planned Futures. And for 2 years, it made such an incredible, incredible difference in my life and in the lives of those I worked with. And I've been very blessed to be able to have been communicated with by two of the people that I work with who are now, were little girls and now are grown women, and who shared with me how things I said to them and things I did made a difference in their life. And even they didn't know how heartbroken I was when I first arrived. But again, I wasn't expecting anything from them. I just needed to experience myself doing something good to help other people. And it really did help me to heal my heart. At least it opened up the beginning to it, because it was a process. It really was a process. And because the heartbreak that I experienced from the romantic relationship wasn't the first time. My heartbreak went back to my core wounds. Yeah. And so it really was all of that, years of heartbrokenness that I was taking on healing. And I can tell you that today I still take on that process. It's not as deep in the way that I had to before, but I still know that it's important. It's important for me to take care of myself. So I want to just really emphasize that the healing of the heart is a journey. It is a journey. And probably one of the most important parts of that journey, too, is this third step in the healing, which is about the practice of forgiveness. Yeah. And this I'm talking about forgiveness as letting go of carrying the pain of the heartbreak. Yeah. Because if it was about loss or rejection, whatever, somebody disappointed you, somebody betrayed you, it was a letdown, things didn't work out, you have to let go of believing that that pain is for you to carry for the rest of your life. And so the practice of forgiveness, especially if you perform sacred gestures to release carrying the pain of loss, disappointment, rejection, betrayal, and letdown. Wow, what a difference. What a great difference it will be. Most definitely, yeah. So, consciously healing a broken heart, honoring that vulnerability, accepting it, sitting in the pain, finding something to serve or someone to serve so that the focus is going out and away from I'm poor me and being addicted to being a victim, but actually allowing yourself to get that experience of being loving, of your heart being open, and then, of course, practicing forgiveness. So here's a personal challenge for you this week. I'd like you to recall your first conscious experience of a broken heart. How does this memory make you feel right now today? Is the vibration good or bad? Is there healing to do? Yeah. Then I suggest you write a letter of forgiveness to the person or about the place or the thing that broke your heart and burn it in a sacred manner, asking your God to heal your heart. Also, do this as many times as needed for any broken heart experience that is not healed requires over and over and over again. Like I said, it really is a journey. It's a journey. Yeah. Just as a reminder, the personal challenge will be listed in the box below the YouTube video if you haven't already. Please subscribe to my channel and hit the bell for all postings. Thank you. So, in closing, I want to first give a shout out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, and to the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting my work in this way. A shout out to all my regular listeners, and especially Miss Sarah, who, oh my goodness, so has demonstrated and taught me about the importance of healing that broken heart. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family and my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the globe, thank you, thank you. I could not do this work with and without your loving support. Now, next week, I'll continue hearth healing as my theme, and I will be providing wisdom and insights on healing your home. Yeah. My Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio. My YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And last but not least, I would like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous Nature Week coming up. And most importantly, please, please remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.